Okay, so this week's parsha is Parshas Truma. And in Parshas Truma, it says the mitzvah of making the Mishkan, Vasuli, Mikdash, Vishachanti, Vesaycham. And then it speaks about all the specific kalim that are segments of this mitzvah of building the Mikdash. The first, and I think it's fair to say the most important of all the kalim in the Mikdash, is of course the Arin. And the Torah says, Va'asu Arin, make for me an Arin. And the Gemara in Yuma says something very fascinating about the physics of this Arin. The Gemara in Yuma, Dav Chafal from an Aleph, says, Amar Ablevi, Davar Ze Mesiris Biodenim Abeisenu. This that I'm going to tell you is a Mesira. It's a tradition handed down to us from our forefathers that Makim Arin. The place of the Arin, the physical measurements of the Arin were not min hamida. They were not bound by laws of physics. They were not existent. What does that mean? Rashi explains there, Einai teifes lemait mimidas hachol shabayas klum. There was basically no space for the Arin in a physical way in the Mikdash. Now, Rashi here is talking specifically about the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Beis HaMikdash, not in the Mishkan that we're learning about the Shabbos, but it's an important element that we have to know about the Mishkan, about the Arin, that it's Eina Min Amida. And he says that the reason that we know this is because we know that there were 10 Amos in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Beis HaMikdash, if you would measure from one end of the Mikdash, of the Arin to the wall, it was 10 Amos, and from the other side of the Arin to the wall was also 10 Amos, so that's equal to 20 Amos. But the entire width of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Mikdash was 20 Amos, which means that there was no room for the actual Arin itself. Fascinating, right? If you would take a tape measure into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis HaMikdash, you would be able to measure 10 Amos from each side of the Arin, but the Arin itself, there would be no room for in a physical way. It would, because the whole empty space is 20 Amos, and the whole width of the Beis of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is 20 Amos. So where is the place for the Arin? Eina min amida. There was no place for it. Physically, it did not exist. There was no place. There was no makim for it. It was like lemaila min hamakim. It didn't have any space in a physical sense to talk about the Arin using the laws of nature, the laws of physics that we're accustomed to. You can't, because it was completely lemaila min hateva. So I just wanted to share with you a few ha'aris about this, about why this might be that by the Arin we find this inyan of Eina Min Amida, which you don't find by any of the other Klei HaMikdash. And then I want to segue it into Mirtz Hashem talking a little bit about Purim, because I think this is going to be the last shmooze before Purim. I do not believe that next week we're going to have a shmooze for Purim, so we're going to accomplish both this Friday. We're going to get a shmooze in on Truma, and it's also going to be a Purim shmooze. So let's give a few different explanations of why this is that the Makim Ha'arin is Eina Min Amida. So first, what we have to do is think about what is the Arin. If you want to understand something about something, you have to get a definition of what it is. So there's a few definitions of the Arin. The Arin is Misamel a few things, and it serves several purposes. And I think each of the purposes will be proven to be a reason why the Arin itself was Eina Min Amida. The first tachlis of the Arin, the first purpose of the Arin was the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashra Hishchina. It was the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to dwell betachtainim. I want to live amongst you on planet Earth. Where am I going to do it? Where am I going to live? Where is my habitat? Where is my residence going to be? Mi bein shnei akruvim. It's going to be right in between the two kruvim, which adorn the top of the Arin. The Arin had a kapiris on top of it, And then on top of that, kapiras was the Shnei Akruvim. And between those two Kruvim, those two angelic cherubs that one looked like a boy, one looked like a girl, between those two Kruvim, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashre Hishchina. Now, when we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina in general, and specifically in this world, we have to understand something, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Ein Sof. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omnipotent. He really is Malei Kol Ha'aretz Kvaydei. The entire earth is filled with his glory. And the Kabbalistic Svarim, like the Zayar and others, say, Les Asar Depanoi Minei, which is Aramaic for, there's no place in the world that is empty of him. That means that every molecule on planet Earth and in all the galaxies, far and wide, is Hashem. It's screaming Hashem. Hashem is Kvaydei Me'alelam. His presence is everywhere. So much so that there's really, when he was creating the world, and this is brought at the beginning of the Sefer HaTanya, the Baal HaTanya writes about this in the Sefer HaTanya, that when he was creating the world, there was really no room for the world, because he was filling the entire world as Hashem. So how is he going to make a planet Earth and a Mars and a Jupiter and a Milky Way? Where is he going to put that? He fills the world. So that's where the Svarim speak about Tzimtzum, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol was Mitzamtzim himself. He contracted himself. He sort of like, it's hard to use this word with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he shrunk himself down to give room for the world. Kaviyachol. Again, we're speaking about very Kabbalistic terms and ideas that I don't really claim knowledge about, but I'm just telling you the simple understanding of these things, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzamtzim himself. And so what that means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his Kvaydei Malei Olam, and as we say in Kedusha, Misharsav Shayalim Zela Zeh, the Misharsim, the Malachim, his servants, ask one another, I am a Kaim Kvaydei, like I don't even see him. It's one of those ironies or paradox about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he's everywhere and he's nowhere. He's everywhere in the world, but yet you don't find him. You don't see him with your eyes. And he's not visible. He made himself invisible, but yet he's everywhere. There's some of the great Jewish poets in Spain wrote poetry about this. Aye emtzecha, v'aye lo emtzecha. Like, where can I find you, and where can I not find you? It's a paradox. Like, he's everywhere and he's nowhere. But the point is that the Kruvim was the place that he chose to be Masher Shechina. What does that mean, he chose to be Masher Shechina? Whatever he was Mitzamtzim himself, he was Mitzamtzim himself into that small area, Mibein Shnei Akruvim. And so just like the Shechina, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina is Mitzamtzim, it's contracted, it's made to be Einam in Amidah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's real Midah, if you'd have a tape measure, it would be the entire galaxies would be a trillion miles in every direction and more. But yet he shrinks himself Einam in Amidah. He makes himself as if like he's invisible. And so since the Aron was really the residence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Einam in Amidah in the terms that we're speaking about today, the Aron itself, by definition, also is Einam in Amidah. It didn't take up space itself, because it was a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Masher Hishchina on top of the Aron. So in order to reflect that reality, that's why the Makim HaAron itself was Einam in Amidah, because the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Einam in Amidah. It might be possible to say as well that the two angels, which were the Kruvim, above the Aron themselves were like, as if carrying on a dialogue at all times, I am Mekayim Kvaydei. Where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, but he is so contracted that it's hard to see him, even for the two Kruvim that are flanking the Shechina. And so that's really, I think, what the Makom Ha'aron represents, and that's why it's Einam and Amida. Another pshat is that the Aron represents, of course, the Torah. There are Midrashim that say this, and every Sefer, you're not going to find a single Sefer in the world that doesn't speak about the comparison between the Aron and the Torah on every level. Every single, Chazal say that there was a Zer, and Rashi, there was a crown around the Aron representing Keser Torah. The Aron had the Luchais, it had the Sefer Torah in there that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. It was basically the kli that represents Torah. Everything about the Aron represents Torah. That's why there was only half measures. There was Masai Machetzi Arka, etc. It was half measures to teach you lessons about Torah. So the Aron was Torah. And I think that understanding that would give us another understanding into why the Makom Ha'aron was Einam and Amida. Because Torah itself is Einam and Amida. If the Aron, which is Misamal Torah, is Einam and Amida, that represents the fact that Torah is Einam and Amida. What does that mean, Torah is Einam and Amida? That it has no, it doesn't really, the laws of physics do not apply to it. What does that mean? What I think it means is as follows, that it's different than all the other Chachmas Ha'ilam. All the other Chachmas Ha'ilam, all the other sciences and mathematics and physics, all of those laws, basically, in order to understand them and to master them, one needs to be smart, or you need to be creative. You need to have some kishrin. You need to have a very high IQ, let's say, to be a rocket scientist, be a brain surgeon, to be a doctor, to be a lawyer. You need to be smart. If you're not so smart, you're not going to pass the LSATs. You're not going to do well in the LSATs. You're not going to pass the bar. You're not going to get through the MCATs and, you know, and all the other things that you need to do to get to it. So because you have to be smart. If I'm not good with math, I could want to be a mathematician my entire life. I could want to be an actuary or a big accountant. But if I'm not good with numbers, then it's very hard for me to, like, turn myself around and to become an accountant. Become an actuary. I'm not good with numbers. If I'm not creative, if I'm not artistic, I'm not going to be an artist. It's just not going to happen. I want to be an artist, but if I don't have the ability to draw, if I can't play a musical instrument because I'm tone deaf, I'm not going to be a musician. That's the regular laws of nature as they apply to the other Chachmas Ha'ilam. When it comes to Torah, Torah is completely different because Torah, you don't need to have a good head to be a Talmud Chacham. The Svarim HaKadoshim, all the Svarim, say that all you need in order to be a Talmud Chacham is you need to have a Yegiyah in learning, you have to really schwitz, and you have to have a love for learning, and you have to have a persistence in learning, have a smada, and people that are really not smart even can suddenly turn into very big Talmud Chachamim. They say a story, it's brought in the Archas Yesher, that, and the Stifler used to speak about this, that the Chasam Sefer had a Talmud, and the Talmud, he didn't even want to accept him into his yeshiva because he mamish could not learn. He had no kishreinus in learning. He had no ability, he had no lumdus, he had no bekiyas, no be'ia, nothing. And he came, but as almost like a, you know, as a favor, he felt bad, so the Chasam Sefer took him into the yeshiva, and this kid started learning and being a masmid, and he went from a very thick skull brain, he had no brain, and he was able to become such a Talmud Chacham that we have many of the tshuvas of the Chasam Sefer. He's basically corresponding with this Talmud after this Talmud graduated from the Chasam Sefer's yeshiva in Pressburg, and he was, you know, he was like holding and learning with the Chasam Sefer. They were talking and learning, discussing back and forth about very deep iyunim in halacha, and the Chasam Sefer would show this to his talmidim and say, this could happen to you as well. You don't need to have any kishrin. It's einam and amida. The natural rules of nature do not apply to Torah. Torah is different. Torah is given to every yid. Every yid has a chelok in Torah, and whether you think you're capable or you're not capable, you are capable. And that's, I think, a semel of what this means, that the Makom Aharon is Eina Min HaMidah. And by the way, it's true the other way as well. With other things, if I'm like a brilliant guy, I could get into medical school and law school and whatever and basically just coast my way through it and do well. When it comes to Torah, if you're brilliant, but you're not trying and you're not chazering, then it's not going to stay by you. It's going to vanish from there's a pasuk that says that in Mishlei Chaf Gimel, Hisif Einecha Bai Ve'Einenu, that you like blink your eyes away from Torah and it's not going to be there anymore. Ki Asa Yasla Knafayim, because it's as if there will be wings to the Torah and you're not going to be able to maintain the Torah. And the Gemara in Megillah Yud Chesam Beis says it's going on Torah, and Rashi says that if you merely like look aside from it a little bit, it will be forgotten from you in the blink of an eye. Now that's not normal either. That's also Eina Min HaMidah. But Torah doesn't operate with normal laws. Torah and the acquisition of Torah, the mastery of Torah, is different than any other of the Chachmas HaElam. And that's another thing that we learn from the Aron. Another thing that we learn from the Aron is, of course, that the Badei HaAron, those beams, those the poles that are on the sides of the Aron that you're never allowed to remove, represent the people that support Torah, the Balabatim, the Zvolans of the world that support the Torah, that the Torah is being schlepped by the Aron. They're carrying, as it were, the Aron, or they're carrying the Torah itself. That's also Eina Min HaMidah. That's part of the Aron that also did not take up space in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because they also are operating on a different level. If a Baal HaBayis supports Torah, not only will he get schar for the Torah that he supported in this world, he will get schar for the Torah that he supported in the next world. But not only does he get schar, like he gets brownie points for it, but amazingly, and this is brought also in a lot of Sfarim, that he actually becomes in the Eilam Ha'emes a Talmud Chacham. It's not like he's going to be sitting there and like being, you know, getting a skybox and watching the people making Siyumim on Shas. He's going to himself be making a Siyum on Shas. He himself is going to be able to talk and learning with the biggest Talmidei Chachamim and know all the Reb Kivegers and know the Rashbas and know how to talk and learning. That's Eina Min HaMidah. That doesn't make sense. He didn't do that in this world. He didn't have the brain for it, he didn't have the interest, and he didn't have the ability for that. But the Badei Aron, as a chelik of the Aron, as Eina Min HaMidah, they also are Lamaila Min HaTeva. There is a story that's told about Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner had a wealthy person who told him before he died that, you know, I'll give you money, but I want you to learn Mishnayos L'Zeicha Nishmasi. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner accepted upon himself to learn Shas Mishnayos over the year of after he dies. And like a few days later, Reb Chaim already had started right away to learn for him. And he was learning a Mishnah in Taras. And it was a very difficult Mishnah in Taras. And Reb Chaim was mamish like spending a lot of time, and he was exhausting himself in trying to understand what the Mishnah in Taras was talking about, and he fell asleep. Mitoich roiv ha-melus v'yagia, he fell asleep over his Mishnayos. And in his sleep, this Baal HaBayis came to him and said to him that, I'll tell you the pshat, and he said a very deep analytical pshat in the Mishnah in Taras. This Baal HaBayis that was supporting him, learning, teaching, to learn Mishnayos L'Zeicha Nishmasai, he himself gave a pshat there, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, of all people, the Talmud Mavuk of the Gra, couldn't be Ayman on himself. And Reb Chaim, when he woke up, was nispal. He couldn't believe it. He said, I didn't know that not only do the Baal HaBatim that support me get schar in learning, they also become Talmid Chacham themselves, and that it happens so fast. You know, maybe, you know, in 100 years, 100,000 years, maybe they'll build up to be a Talmud Chacham. But like the day that they're a Nifter, they immediately know how to be a Talmud Chacham, how to talk and learning. It's a tremendous thing. And so that is that's also the what it symbolizes, that Makom Aharon is Eina Min HaMidah. Another thing that I wanted to share with you this morning to explain how Makom Aharon is Eina Min HaMidah is something that is I think, very, very beautiful, and very negay to us, and we're going to again segue into Purim from here. Another, what the Aron symbolizes, besides for the makam of the Shekhinah, besides for Torah, besides for the support of Torah, it also represents the Ava, the love that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. That is symbolized by the Aron and by specifically the Kruvim, that one was a Zachar and one was an Akeva. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, Nundalat Amin Aleph, B'sha'a Shahay Yisrael Eilam L'Regel, that when Klal Yisrael made Aliyah L'Regel, when they came up to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year, on Yom Tovim, Hayim Megaylin Lahem Es HaPareches, they would roll back for them the Pareches. They would get like a guided tour of the Beis HaMikdash. They would roll back for them the Pareches, Umarin Lahem Es HaKruvim, and they would show them the Kruvim. It's an amazing thing to be able to like get a peek into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's what everybody that came to Be'el HaRegel was able to do. And the tour guide who was showing them the Kodesh HaKadoshim said, Re'u Chibaschem Lefnei HaMakim, look at how beloved you are before Hashem, Kechibas Ish V'Isha. Just like the love that exists between a man and a woman, this is how beloved you are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Kruvim, one was a Zachar and one was a Nekeva, to symbolize the great love that exists between Klal Yisrael and the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, very important Gemara to learn. On Zayin Amid Aleph it says, Hahu Dava Ka'amar Va'azel. A person would used to say, Ki Rachimtin Haviaziza Apusya De Safsira. Shrivan. When we first got married, he was talking about his marriage. He said, when my wife and I first got married, we were madly in love with each other. Our love was so great that we were able to sleep on the edge of a sword. The edge of a sword, whatever that means, but take it at face value. On the edge of a sword, we were able to sleep. What meaning? It was Einam and Amida. The love was Einam and Amida. It's like, we didn't need a fancy mansion to live in. We didn't have fancy cars. We're able to just live simple, live together. The love was so pure and so deep that it was l'mayla min hateva. We were able to sleep on the edge of a sword together, and it didn't bother us. And he continues that hashta de lo yaziz rechimta, but Nebuch, like as our marriage progressed and the love sort of dissipated, Purya bar shisin garmidi leisagilan, a bed that's 60 garmidim, a tremendous, huge bed, maybe a couple of miles big. How much is a garmid? It's a very big measurement. You could have the biggest bed in the world, Guinness Book of World Records bed. It's still not enough room for us. It's still not big enough to contain us. And then it's interesting that the Gemara there continues that you learn it from the Beis HaMikdash. You learn this whole thing from the Beis HaMikdash because it says, Amr of Huna Kroi Ksiv. It's really a pasuk. Meikara Ksiv v'nai adi l'cham v'sham. I will meet with you there v'dibarti itcha me'ala kapiris. I'm going to be there above the kapiris, like we said before, between the Shnei Akruvim. So, and then eventually when it came to the Beis HaMikdash, you needed a much bigger Beis HaMikdash to contain the Shekhinah. Shishim Amma Arkay, the Esrim Rachva, Yishlesh Amma Kamasai. And in the end, in Yeshaya, it says, Koyamar Hashem HaShemayim Kisi, Varetz Hadem Ragle, Ezeh Baisra, Tumli. You can't build me a house that's big enough to contain me. In other words, that the Ava that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is symbolized by the Aron, by the Kruvim. And just like the Kruvim, the love that exists between the Isha and the Isha, when the love is at its heightened point, you're able to sleep on the edge of a sword, which means it's Einam and Amida. The love transcends time and space. It's so great that you can't measure it. It's immeasurable. Doesn't make sense, but you could live even in the smallest place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing By being Mashre Shechina between the Shnei Akruvim, he's showing that the love that exists between us is one that's Lamayla Min HaTeva, it's Eina Min HaMida. You know, the Aron could be invisible because our love is also able to be so tight between us that you don't even need any physical measurements in order to house the love that exists between us. One of the most famous svarim on tefillah, written by a kadmon, is the Sefer Avot Dram. I think that it's still the finest sefer ever written on tefillah. It's very hard to find, you know, good svarim on tefillah. This is written by a kadmon, and it's unbelievable. He writes like came out on all the tefillahs, if not all the tefillahs. So he writes in the Birchas Haro'iyah. He has a section in the back called the brachas that you make on Nisim and when you see certain things. And he brings from Rav Asher Miluniel that the reason why we make a bracha is on a nes is only a type of nes, which is yetze miminaga ilam, a nes which is lamayla min hateva. It's like a supernatural miracle. For example, like when you see a place that the sea splits, whether it's the Yamsuf, whether it's the Yarden that split. Or like a case of the Gemara brings, Mabre Duravana, that a nes happened to him, and whatever, some supernatural events that happened. That's when you make a bracha on a nes. But he says, Val nes shehu minaga ilam mitoldasai. If it's a miracle, but it's really like a regular, natural type of miracle, kagain shabol of ganavim balayla, ubali de sakana venitzel. Let's say, you know, you had a break-in in the house, and you were saved from it. Then Ganavim didn't get to your bedroom, and they all right, but that's more tevadik. There's nothing supernatural. Nothing broke, you know, any rules of nature with that. So it's a great, you know, it's a great hatava, but it's not a nes that you'd go to shul and make a bracha, shasli nes makam hazeh, or ben shgaimel for it. It's a regular tevadik nes. So you don't have to make a bracha of shasli nes makam hazeh. So then the Avot Dram asks as follows, V'im taimar, Vari Purim, what about Purim? Shaya nes k'minaga ilam. It was a nes like the minaga ilam, was a regular natural nes. We know about Purim that it was all b'derech hateva. There was no overt nisim. It wasn't like Hanukkah that you had the nes of Mochama and you had the nes of the Pach HaShemen. Purim, there was nothing extraordinary in terms of the natural cycle of events. Of course, the entire miracle from beginning, you know, the fact that we were saved in such a way was incredible, but there was no actual nisim that were l'mayla min hateva. You weren't going to see any open, overt miracles, like no Kriyas Yamsuf and no... So because of that, it looked like a political... you know, intrigue, palace intrigue, what was taking place in the house of Achashverosh, and Vashti died, Esther was appointed, but it seemed pretty natural over the course of those many years that the Purim miracle happened. Nobody really said, wow, there's a Yad Hashem taking place. It was all Behester Panim Kiyodua. So the Avot Dram asks, why do we say Sha'asa Nisim Laveisenu on Purim? Why do we make a bracha on the Nes of Purim? After all, the Nes of Purim, if Rav Asher Miluniel is right, that you only make a bracha on a Nes, that's L'mayla Min HaTeva, that's different than the rules of physics. So what rules of physics were broken on Purim that we should make a Sha'asa Nisim? Listen to what he answers. V'yesh Loimar, Hasam nami yatzam minaga ilam. Even by Purim, there was something that went away from the minaga ilam. Something was strange that was happening in a supernatural way on Purim. Why? Bipnei shnei devarim. Because of two things. Ha'echad shebitel ksava melech v'hafach das paras umadai. It never happened in history that the king would actually retract a gezeira. When you make a gezeira, you keep the gezeira. You don't like, it's embarrassing for a king to have to undo something that he said he would do. That was a tremendous miracle. That was almost l'mayla min hateva. That's one thing. V'hasheni, but the second thing, which is what I want to focus on, shahara karev l'shmeinim elef meumasei. He killed close to 80,000 of his own citizens, Ahasuerus did. He killed close to 80,000 citizens. Why? Bavur avas isha achas. Because of the love of a single woman, Ahasuerus killed 80,000, or he permitted 80,000 of his own citizens to be killed. This is completely above and beyond the laws of nature. This is not normal. That the love that he had for Esther was so great that he would permit 80,000 of his own citizens, regardless of the political expedience of allowing that. Imagine how the citizens of the country felt that, what, for Esther, for a Jewish girl, you're willing to allow 80,000 of your own people to get killed? You can imagine that wasn't too popular politically. Why did he do it? Me'avas isha achas, says Evodram. Because he loved one woman. That's the takeaway of Purim. Purim is not a time that's, you don't see nisim geluyim, but there's a tremendous ava that exists between a man and a woman, and that itself is the greatest miracle. And I think that is really the takeaway of Purim, not as far as what Ahasuerus felt for Esther, but for the love that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. When we're making a Sha'asa Nisim on Purim, it's the nes of the greatest miracle of them all, and that's the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us with such intensity, and we love Him back. There's a Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek Yud, Halacha Gimel, the Ketzer Yav HaRuya, what type of love is it that we're supposed to have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hu She'yehav Es Hashem Ava G'dayla Yisera, Azam Ma'ed. You're supposed to love Hashem with a great love, very strong love, so much so that your nefesh, your soul, will be bound in the love of Hashem. The nimtza shayga batamid, and you are always obsessing over Him, ki'ilu chayla chalyav, as if you're lovesick. She'ein daite pnim yavasayish. When a person is in love with a woman, he's consumed by it. And he's thinking about it constantly, says the Rambam, whether he's sitting, whether he's lying down, whether he's standing up, whether he's eating, drinking, he's obsessed with this woman. Yeser mizet tiavas Hashem levayavo. That's a little bit of an idea of how much you should have love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As much as you see a love between Isha and Isha, more so should be the love that exists between Hashem and you. Shaygim batamid, that you are obsessed and consumed by it constantly. And this is what Shlomo Melech writes in Shir HaShirim. Ki chaylas avani, I am lovesick for you, Hashem. The entire Shir HaShirim is just a mashal for this. If you read Shir HaShirim is a roller coaster ride. There are times that things are amazing between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. There are times that it's not so good. There's times of Har Sinai, Matan Torah. Then we go into a time of Chet HaEgel. Then we go into a time of the Midbar. Then we go into Eretz Yisrael. Then we have Bayis Rishon. And then we have Galus from Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Galus, Bayis Sheni. Purim, Chanukah, Shir Hashirim basically gives you a sweeping view of Jewish history. But the undercurrent of this entire spectrum of history is that there's a love that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Israel. Ani l'daydi v'daydi li, that I love Hashem, He loves me. Ki chaylas ava ani. There is a love sickness that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. There's Ramban in Devarim Zayin Vav, a beautiful Ramban. It's good to look it up and see it for yourself. But the psukim there speak about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't love you because you're the biggest nation in the world, because you're the smallest nation in the world. I don't love you because you're China or India, they have, you know, a billion people and you're under your rule. You don't have a billion people, you have a few, you know, maybe a couple of shishim ribay, a million, 2 million, whatever it was, 3 million. But it's not that, that's not the reason why I love you. The reason why I love you is because me'avas Hashem eschem, because I love you and I desire you, says Hashem. So the Ramban says an amazing thing. He says that v'lehizkir bazeh tam min habechira. He really doesn't say why he chose us. He just says that he chose us because he loves us, but he didn't give us a reason why he loves us. So the Ramban says, ki an nivchar la'ayev, but he does, because by choosing somebody to love, hayadeh mimenu. What love means is that you are able to tolerate the love with whatever it brings. And Klal Yisrael has proven that time and time again, because we have been killed for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have suffered for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we were able to tolerate the love. No other nation in the world could put up with the love that was expected of them to put up with. Klal Yisrael has been killed and pogromed and holocausted and Cossacked and throughout history, Spanish Inquisitions and expulsions and murders and burning at the stakes. And why? Because we love Hashem. Purim is a day that shows all this. In fact, the reason why we re-accepted the Torah on Purim, kimu v'kiblu, kimu masha kiblu kvar, we re-accepted the Torah. The first time we got the Torah was mitayich kfiyah. We were forced into it. And that gave us a very big opening to not keep the mitzvahs. Kadosh Baruch Hu put a mountain over our head before, like a gun to our head to accept the Torah. So, okay, so if I don't accept it, I could always claim that I didn't want to accept it, so don't blame me the fact that I'm not keeping it. But we re-accept the Torah on Purim because it says in the Megillah, Kimu v'kiblu. So Rashi says, what does that mean? Why did we re-accept the Torah on Purim? Me'avas hanes. Because we love the miracle. What does it mean we love the miracle? What do you love about a miracle? It means that we love the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us the greatest miracle of all, that he saved us because of his love for us. He saved us because he loved us. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever come to our rescue to save us? Obviously, he loves us. That's the greatest miracle of all. That's the miracle because of the love that Ahasuerus had with Esther. We say Al Nisim. What that means is that we learn, whenever it says in the Megillah, of the Lashon of HaMelech, Stam, it's Hashem. Ahasuerus teaches us how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves his Isha, which is us. That love is Eina Min Amida. That love, it transcends time, it transcends space. It makes no sense. But here we are in 2021. We're still learning, we're still davening, we're still keeping the mitzvahs, we're still anticipating Purim because of this great cosmic love that has always existed between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Aron is Einam and Amida because it symbolizes the love that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us. And that love is Einam and Amida. That love transcends everything. The Pesukim in Shir Hashirim at the end says, Ki Aza Kamavis Ava, that the love is as stubborn as death. Nothing could put Mayim Rabim LaYuchlu L'Chabis Ava. The greatest of waters cannot extinguish the fire that exists between us and Hashem. So many philosophers have wondered how it is that the Jewish people have been eternal and lived forever. And they don't understand this. This is the one thing they don't understand, that the reason why we're an eternal people is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a love for us. He doesn't want us to leave. When you love somebody, you don't want them to go. If you don't care for somebody, you don't mind if they leave. HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't live Kaviyachol without Klal Yisrael. The love is Einam and Amida, and we're not perfect. A lot of times we, and that's what got us into Purim in the first place, Galus of the Bayis Rishon and Galus from the Bayis Sheni. We're not a perfect people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we love him and that we sacrifice for him so much, and in turn, he loves us. Ani l'day d'v'day d'v'day, we reflect him and he reflects us. It's reciprocated, the relationship, the love. It's Einam and Amida. It makes no sense, but it does. for the world, it makes no sense how we're still around. But for people that are involved in the relationship, for us and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the love makes a lot of sense. And it's the greatest miracle of all, and that's the miracle that we say Al Anisim for on Purim. It's a hard thing to learn how to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a real way. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't see, you can't hug. But the more that we feel the Ahava, the more He will make us feel the Ahava. The more we're able to stir up the Ahava for Him inside of us, the more He will make Himself be felt by us. Rabbi Victor Miller used to go into a phone booth and pick up a random phone receiver and just say into the phone, "I love you, Hashem, I love you, Hashem, I love you, Hashem." Sometimes he would start a shir, "Hashem, I love you, I love you, I love you." The more that you speak about it, the more that you actualize it, you talk about it, you dance about it, you feel about it, you sing about it, the more you are able to experience that Ahava. And then the more that you express that Ahava and the more you generate within you that Ahava, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open up His arms and embrace you, and then you'll feel the Ahava that much more. But yeah, you can never forget the Ahava. The Ahava is Einam Amida. The Ahava in good times is Einam Amida, and especially in bad times when things are not going so well and you really wonder, you know, why Hashem is doing this, and you reach out to Him and you say, "I love you, I don't understand why I'm going through this, but I love you," you will feel the Yeshua immediately. That's how it works. It's Einam Amida. That doesn't, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond time and space, and His love is beyond time and space, and His kaychas are beyond time and space. Yeah, so that's the these are the takeaways of the Makom HaArein Einam Amida. It's the takeaway for Purim. And Mitzvah Hashem, we should grow and steig in our learning, in our Torah, and the ability to fathom HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness and wonder about His tzimtzum. But most importantly, we have to feel the love and understand that we can get through anything in life, both as a people and as an individual, by fostering this love, by realizing this love, and by expressing this love. Have a wonderful Shabbos, Rabbi.